In Psalm 23, a very famous psalm, a psalm that many of us know very well, a psalm that is known by the world very well, says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." For the last couple of days, I've been looking at this verse, these verses, and I'm amazed by the fact that it talks about even walking through the valley in the shadows of death, I will fear no evil. And I'm trying to think about what I know about the Middle East and about how difficult this would be to be a shepherd in this land. And when we think about valleys, I would have to think that they were more like canyons. And what's amazing is that these shepherds would guide these sheep, and they would take them, and in the spring they would all be in the land, but then by the summer they would probably have to move because the sheep would have eaten all the necessary food in that area because it would be very scarce. And so the shepherds would guide these sheep through these dark canyons, not knowing what was out there, not knowing what predators or enemies were out there. But what's amazing is God tells us that I will not fear, because God is our shepherd. Brothers and sisters, I have to tell you that this has been one of the hardest seasons of my life. The last few months have been harder than any other time in my life. And I have to say that I feel like I've overcome some pretty difficult things. But as a Christian, by far, this has been the hardest time of my life. Because I have dealt with some persecutions that have really affected me. And the hard part about these persecutions is I have let them define me. And I have let them distract me and take my eyes off of the prize. The last few months, I have to say that I have not been at my spiritually strongest state. And it's unfortunate because it's been the hardest time. And it should be the time when I look and say, God, I need your strength. But for the last few months, I have tried to do it on my own. And brothers and sisters, you know that that is not possible for me or for you to do it on your own. A few months ago, I told you about some challenges that I was dealing with at work. Well, those challenges have gotten worse than they were 4 or 5 months ago. They have gone to a very high level. And there are some claims that I have discriminated against somebody because of her sexual orientation. And some of the claims that she has made is that I keep a Bible on my desk in my office. That occasionally during lunch, in the break room, I will read my scriptures. That was the first claim, which is absolutely true, without a doubt. And then the rest of the claims are absolutely 100% not founded upon truth. And it has left me and my family in a state of uncertainty. No, not knowing whether or not we are going to have a job in a few months. But I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, it does not matter what happens to us in this life. What matters is where we are heading and where our eyes are fixed. I want to talk to you this morning about thinking about the inside out. Often we think about the outside. We think about the things that happen to us on the outside, and they affect us in the inside. When in reality, we should be thinking about things from the inside, thinking about the things that God has blessed us with, thinking about the power that God has given within us, and using that to affect the things on the outside. Brothers and sisters, I hope this morning that you will look through about 10 verses with me, that you will say 2 prayers with me. And I hope that you walk out of these 4 walls this morning a little stronger than you were this morning. I am grateful for the thoughts that Ashley presented before the Lord's Supper. And I am amazed every time we look at the life of Jesus, how absolutely perfect he was. How the night before he was about to be betrayed, he took his disciples aside and he taught them and he encouraged them and he supported them and he prayed for them, not thinking about what he was about to endure, but what about his disciples and what they were about to endure. We serve an amazing God, and we serve a Savior that has been risen. And brothers, that is something to rejoice in. This morning, we will look at what makes a great day. Often, we think about things like, oh man, I'm having the best day ever. I'm having the best week ever. I'm having the best year ever. I'm having the best life ever. And often, we think about those things based on what is happening to us. We think about those things based on the influences around us. When you ask somebody about, well, why was it the best day ever? They'll say things like, well, I got this promotion at work. We went out to this steakhouse, and it's a brand new steakhouse, and I had the best steak ever. Or my son, Jackson, plays on this baseball team, and he hit a home run and won the game. It was amazing to see Jackson win the game. Or when we think about our best month ever, we think about all these external circumstances. But do we often stop and think about where we are internally? Where we are when it comes to our relationship with Christ? And as we think about that this morning, I hope that you'll go through a few thoughts with me. But before we begin, I ask that you'll bow with me as we go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so humbled, so privileged, and so grateful to be able to call you in prayer at this time. Lord, we are reminded within these four walls that we have people that are just like us. That you have given us these people that we can go through life with, encouraging and supporting and encouraging and reminding each other that this life is not what it is about. That we are to keep our eyes on the prize, to realize that this life is just a stepping stone to where we are trying to go. And Lord, that is heaven. We desire so much to be with you for all eternity. Help us each and every day to make sure that we put each step in front of the other, recognizing that you are our God and Christ is our Savior. We say all these things humbly in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And I have to tell you, brothers, that the best and worst by things that are happening around us, we are being influenced by what is valuable based on the wrong things. And sometimes we need to change our perspective. We need to look at the joy and the happiness and the fulfillment and the greatness that God has given to each and every one of us. We need to stop thinking from the outside in and start thinking about the inside out. What happens from the inside out is not as important as what happens from the inside out. I think I said that in a convoluted way. What is happening inward needs to come outward. We can't be as influenced by the things that are outward that come inward. We have to be focused on the inward things. The parts that can't be seen. Brothers and sisters, I have to tell you that over the last few months, my prayer life has been non-existent. If it wasn't for my wife and daughter, it would be absolutely non-existent. But my wife and daughter have been an anchor in my life, reminding me the importance of serving God. My prayer life has been difficult. I've been working more hours than I've ever worked in my life. I have been more physically, mentally, and emotionally exhausted than I've ever been in my entire life. And brothers and sisters, what I'm giving you right now are excuses for why my spiritual life has plummeted. But we need to think about the things like our prayer life and our life when it comes to studying, and our life when it comes to looking around, letting people inside who make us a better person, by making sure that we are influencing our inner circle and the influence, asking better and bigger questions of God, changing our prayer life, thinking about the things that are really hurting us inside. And I have to say, Jeff, I'm grateful for your prayer this morning. Because if anything, we were reminded this past week was the power of God. And brothers and sisters, I have to tell you that in 2019, God's power is no less as strong as it was the day when the children of Israel were able to go out of Egypt across the Red Sea. We serve that same God. And when we think about the day being great, we need to think about God's greatness in us, God's power among us, God's word that fills us. And brothers and sisters, if you are struggling in these areas, I'm going to have to tell you that you're probably not alone. That there are people, I would imagine, and please forgive me if there's not, but I would imagine that there are people in this very room, this very hour, that are struggling with some of these very same things. But brothers and sisters, sometimes it is about perspective. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and in verse 7 it says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive, and the one who seeks, find, and to him who knocks, it will be opened." Brothers and sisters, God is telling us right now, he's telling us to ask. He's telling us to seek, and he's telling us to knock. And what's amazing about this, if you hop down to verse 9, it says, "Or what is the man there among you, if he has sons, ask for bread and will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, you also do to them. For as the law and the prophets." What's amazing, he gives us an example of a father and a son asking his father and saying, "Will a father give him this thing when his son asks for another?" The reality is Jesus is telling us that in order for us, God to give us, we have to ask. Brothers and sisters, we need to be asking and we need to be seeking and we need to be knocking. And in Ephesians 3, starting in verse 19. Actually, we'll stop. We'll jump back. It's verse 17. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all fullness of God. What an amazing verse here. I'm going to reread verse 19. It says, "To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." And in 1 John chapter 4, and in verse 4, 1 John chapter 4, and in verse 4, it reads, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Brothers and sisters, we are Christ, and we are in God, and he has given us everything that we need. We just have to use him. And over the last couple of weeks, I've been amazed to think about how God works in our lives. I got a call this morning. Literally, I wasn't dressed. We needed to leave in 15 minutes. I got a call from Kenya about a brother that I met when I was in Iraq. His name is Joseph. And he's the most amazing. He always has a smile. And I never understand what he's saying. Every fourth, fifth word. But sometimes he's like, and I can't even try to replicate it. But he called me this morning to tell me, brother, I love you. And I just want to remind you to keep fighting the good fight. I'm going to have to tell you. That's amazing. Because you know what I needed this morning? I needed somebody from Kenya to call and tell me that I need to keep fighting the good fight. And I believe that God works in three great ways. He works through providence. He works through passages. And he works through people. And brothers and sisters, we need to be the people in each other's life for good things. And we need to look for the things that God wants us to realize. And what I want you, and I believe God wants you to realize this morning, is that he is strong. And so are you. And when we think about being content, when we think about overcoming hard things, I can't help but to think about Philippians chapter 4. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. We will spend most of our study there and make some applications, and the lesson will be yours. In Philippians chapter 4, what's amazing about Philippians is that Paul is sitting in a prison cell. And in chapter 3, he's talking about rejoicing. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. And in verse 4 of chapter 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. What's amazing that Paul is sitting in a prison cell reminding the brethren in Philippi to rejoice. And not only to rejoice, but to rejoice in the Lord. And in verse 5, it says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And in verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing. Paul, are you kidding me? To be anxious for nothing? Do you know how difficult that is? Paul, do you know what I'm going through in my life right now? I am very anxious, Paul. Well, let me remind you, Cody, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And in verse 7, it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I remind you what Ashley reminded us just a few minutes ago in John chapter 14. I don't know if John, you were, or Ashley, if you were looking at my lesson, but so many things that you said this morning are going to translate right over to what we're saying now. In John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, in verse 27, it says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And what's amazing in verse 14 of that same chapter says, if you ask anything in my name, I will what? Do it. I will do it. Back to Philippians chapter 4. It says, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then in verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And one of the things that I think is absolutely amazing about those verses in verse 8 is that Paul doesn't tell us what to think about. But he tells us to think about the things that are what? That are praiseworthy. That are of godly thinking. to tell us to think about the things that bring God glory. And I think that there's reasons for that. We need to understand that God cares and is concerned about what we think about. And then in verse 11, it says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am in to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And what's amazing about that is that Paul is talking about these things. And I don't know if you're recognizing, but in verse 9, it says, "the things which you learned." And then in verse 11, it says, "for I have learned." And what that shows us is that Paul was always content, but he learned to be content. And the secret of his contentment is found in verse 13, a verse that we know very well. Verse 13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Paul learned that in whatever state he was in, that he needed to be content. And so often, we look at rejoicing and happiness, and we have to understand that they're not the same. Happiness is based upon what is happening to us. Joy is internal. Joy is who we are, not where we are. And brothers and sisters, if we don't find joy in this building this morning, we will find joy no other place. If we don't find joy in our lives now, we will not find joy 5 years from now. Brothers and sisters, Paul reminds us that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Evadale, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Matt, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Mike, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Rosa, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Ron, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Brothers and sisters, Paul reminds us here in Philippians chapter 4 the importance of recognizing that the fact that who we are needs to be founded upon Jesus Christ. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men." And as we look at these thoughts, it's important for us to recognize that we can do these things because of Galatians chapter 3. And in verse 27, in Galatians 3 in verse 26 and 27, it says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ." All those who have been baptized have put on Christ. And because you wear Christ, we can overcome all of these things in this world. Where does Paul's strength come from? It comes from within. It comes in his heart. It comes in his mind. It comes by thinking about the power and the sacrifice of Christ. The fulfilling life that comes by knowing that we have been covered. That we are in Christ. What an amazing thought. And we need to think about the joy and the blessings. And we can handle all of these things knowing what Christ has done for us. And a verse that I always like to go back to. In John chapter 3, And in verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And in 1 Peter 1 and verse 7, it says that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes through, it is tested by fire and may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and in verse 7, we see here that Paul has been pleading for God to take away this thorn. And there's a lot of people that like to make guesses of what that thorn is. To be perfectly honest, we don't know. And brothers and sisters, I don't know if you in this very hour have a thorn in your flesh that you're wanting God to take away. I pray that you pray that he will take it away. And what we see here is that God's answer was no. But what he says is, "Concerning these things I pleaded with the Lord," in verse 3, "three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Brothers and sisters, Paul reminds us in Philippians chapter 4 that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't know what struggles you are going on and what are going on in your life. But we need to be asking, we need to be knocking, and we need to be seeking. And as we were read earlier from James chapter 1, that we need to count it all joy when we go through these various trials. And we need to be asking for God's wisdom and God's guidance through these things. 4 points, and the lesson will be yours. We see here some application. The first is that God is concerned about what we think about. In Philippians chapter 4, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Our points will come from this section. Philippians chapter 4 talks about, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Brothers and sisters, the first thing is God concerned with what you think about. And he's concerned about what I think about. And sometimes we need to turn the radio off. Sometimes we need to turn the TV off. And sometimes we just need to meditate and to spend time with God in prayer. "Oh Lord, I need a mountain to climb on, to spend some time with you, dear Lord, in prayer." The second thing is that godly thinking leads to two results. The first one is thanksgiving. When we think about the things that God wants us to be thinking about, it reminds us of the blessings that God has bestowed upon us in our lives. And one of those blessings is those to your left and to your right. So knowing that we have the blessing to come here on the first day of the week to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to celebrate the fact that we are not alone, that God loves us. And the second thing that godly thinking leads to is action. When we spend time meditating on these things, it reminds us that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and it compels me to action. Every time you see faith in the Word of God, it's talking about action. It's talking about living. It's talking about doing. And the third point this morning is that nothing and everything is the key. In verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Anxious for nothing, take everything to prayer. Anxious for nothing, take everything to prayer. The last and final point this morning is that Christ strengthens me from the inside, and then my inside takes me to my outside. I don't know what things are affecting you on the outside, but the one thing that Satan can't take from you is what you do when it comes to your relationship with God. He can put these challenges and these struggles and these things that persecute you in these lives, but the one thing that Satan cannot take away is your soul, unless you give it to him. Brothers and sisters, we need to spend time recognizing how important the inside matters. And if your insides aren't as strong as they need to be, I challenge, I compel you, I plead with you to not wait another hour. Because I have to tell you from experience, the last few months have been hard. And it wasn't until making a couple of decisions a couple of weeks ago. Eric and I have been listening to this podcast by Chris Emberson. We have been waking up earlier to spend some time with God in word and in prayer. I've been spending more time turning my audiobook or the radio off and thinking about the things that God wants me to be thinking about. And what's amazing is that when you spend time in his word, you can be strengthened. Because what Satan wants you to do is to isolate yourself from the word of God, from prayer, and from each other. Remember the three ways that God works in our lives. He works through providence, he works through passage, and he works through people. I don't know where you are in your life, but if you need to make some corrections, or if you need to come forward and ask for forgiveness, or to make your life right with God, or to enter the water of baptism because you've never done it, brothers and sisters, I tell you that this is the time. Don't let another hour pass, because with Christ, I can do all things because he strengthens me. The lesson is yours. Thank you for your time.
Have you a heart that's full?